Halloween, All Hallows' Eve, Samhain, Day of the Dead, All Souls. This time of the year, when the seasons shift, when we have an opportunity to look at darker times, days grow shorter, nights grow longer. It is said that this time of the year, when the veil is the thinnest between the worlds. Communities around the world celebrate humankind's connection to our ancestors, the veil being the separator between life and death. It is believed that this week, our departed relatives actually walk on this earth communing with us, if we're just open to it. The Celtic Christians believed that there were mystical times and spaces called thin places, where the veil between the holy and the human is traversed, an experience in which the physical and spiritual worlds are knit together. And if we are so attuned, we can transcend the ordinary for a glimpse at the infinite. These times and places are not necessarily sacred or even peaceful. Consider it to be a time of dissonance or transformation, the energy that flows through us in an experience that leaves our hearts open, more grateful, more empathetic, and less alone. It's a disarming feeling of being brought to our own attention, knowing that we are forever changed by what transpires. Why does this thinning of the veil take place in autumn? Any guesses? Say it again, I didn't.
The season of transformations.
Season of transformations, very good. I believe that we are reminded by nature, with that last beautiful gasp of the trees, that there is true beauty in this place of transition. The colors are a reminder of the temporary, ever-changing condition of life. As leaves fall, let us remember that the trees live on. It is the tree itself that releases what it's called abscisic acid, which seals the leaf away from the tree. When the leaf begins to die, it changes color and then cascades like snow from the tree onto the ground. The purpose of the death of the leaves is an act of protection for the tree, as the decaying leaves feed and protect the roots of the tree during the cold winter, becoming a natural biodegradable blanket for the tree's roots. I believe that our individual human lives mirror the life cycle of the tree, or maybe even the leaf. We begin as part of something larger, the human genome maybe. We procreate, sprout, grow, create a canopy, breathe with one another like we did this morning. But then we let go, we die, and the tree lives on, continually evolving because of our experience. I have this way of thinking about life. I believe that we are a reflection of this grand cosmos, the macrocosm, and our everyday existence is a microcosm of that. I experience, seek meaning, and understanding that we are each a small speck that reflects the whole. Could the answers that we seek about meaning of life be right within us? Maybe as close as the palm of our hand. Everything around us is in a cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. The thinning of the veil reminds us of this. We see the wheel of the seasons take another turn. And maybe you wonder, as I do, is there meaning in this life to be found? Or is this all just a random set of circumstances and connections? Is there meaning, or is it just random? Maybe it takes each one of us being both participants and observers to recognize the pattern in what seems like life's randomness. I don't know about you, but I could be in a store and I can meet someone and they can tell me something that seems benign, and then a week later someone will call me and say, "This is happening to me," and I've immediately got a reference between the two. And it happens all the time. And I think, is this random? Could it be random? I want to just stop as we look at our altar to our ancestors and our loved ones and think about death and how death has been particularly busy this year. We have lost friends, we have lost loved ones, and death is unavoidable. Death and taxes, right? Death is something that we try to avoid and are willing to think or talk about just about anything else but death. Death spares no one. So how do we live holding the reality of death in one hand and the essence of life in the other? Yeah, exactly. We are all alive, but we die. There is this tension that exists. How as conscious beings, do we find meaning in facing death as our ultimate outcome? During his life, the reputation of the Buddha spread far and wide. Everyone knew who the Buddha was. Not only was he renowned as a great, compassionate, and fully enlightened human being, but also as a skilled teacher and a miraculous healer who could even bring the dead back to life. So one day, a woman approached the Buddha after a teaching, begging that he do something to restore her dead child to her. The Buddha listened patiently to her plea and saw how great was her despair. He said to her, "Mother, if you bring me just one mustard seed from any household in which no person has died, then I shall revive your child." The woman was greatly encouraged by the teacher's words. She traveled from door to door throughout her own village, but could not find even a single residence in which no one had died. She went out of town, wandering to this hamlet and to that, in search of the tiny seed that the Buddha had requested. Days later, muddy and footsore, she returned to the place where the Buddha and his followers were passing the rainy season. She was ushered into the teacher's presence, worn out but not discouraged. "Master, try as I might, I could not locate the token you requested as an offering. But I have come to understand that death visits every household, and eventually every single one of us. I would like now to enter the stream and work towards the liberation that the teachings provide. I put myself in that woman's shoes. In facing the death of a child, one faces a death of a part of themselves. The mother in this story chose to enter the stream. In a way, she was asking to be reborn into a state of consciousness, an understanding of the way towards enlightenment. She was willing to let go of her lost child as a way of letting go of fear and pain and suffering. I get this. Although I have not lost a child, I have lost the nearest and dearest to me to the clutches of death. My parents have passed. I assume into nothingness, or maybe to a place that I am unable to even imagine. I know that I'm not the only one who has lost loved ones. Our presente, the calling out of our dead, shows that none of us are alone in our loss and grief. I have to admit that it brings me comfort to try to imagine what another place, call it heaven, might be like. That other side of the veil. I imagine vast expanse, no anxiety, no pain, no fear. I imagine my parents sitting around a huge round table with their family and friends playing cards, laughing, maybe having an adult beverage, I don't know. Telling jokes, sharing stories, their differences set aside, and loving one another openly, with no pain, no baggage. Sometimes the images of my loved one suffering with cancer creeps in from the dark recesses of my mind, disturbing my afterlife fantasy. But time has helped me. I am able to bring those images forward into my mind's eye and allow them to touch me in a different way than they once did. Those mental photographs used to make me ache, but time has helped me to realize those intimate moments were actually a gift. The holding of the hand, the sharing of the fear, the love, the love. Grief of loss stays with us. Those strong feelings are what I would call cumulative, as we are a witness to death over and over again in our lives. We are compelled to reach out to tell our story as a way to make sense of it all. I've shared my philosophy of life and death with some of you who now sit firmly in the grips of grief. I sit there with you. Building my own theology and beliefs on human experience, I began at the beginning. I do not remember when I was in utero. Does anybody remember when they were in utero? I don't remember it. And yet, I was born. That was a blank time in my life, void of recollection. I often wonder if it is possible to live this life as if we were in utero, for the growth of understanding, for the growth of our soul, be it spiritual or not, doesn't matter. Live this one life that leads to death, but instead of death as an ending, it's more like death as a birth or a rebirth. A time when we are energetically released and spiritually born, a time when this body that we live in dies, yet we are able to finally let go of the illusion of being separate from one another and from the universe. Death as a birth into the miraculous. That is what I like to believe. There is no conclusive evidence, let us begin there, about what happens after death, but I want to have faith that there's something else. And I ask you, what's the harm in having faith that there's something else? People will think you're goofy, maybe? There is no harm in holding on to such comfortable and comforting thoughts. Yet I am informed and infer my beliefs from what science tries to explain about life, the macrocosm. And of course, I extrapolate and connect what I've learned in my life, what my gut tells me. Thus, I'm continually evolving and creating my own set of ever-evolving understandings about life and death. I turn to one of my heroes, Albert Einstein. In 1954, he shared that a human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts and feelings as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest us. Our task must be to free ourselves from that prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. The true value of a human being is determined by the measure and the sense in which they have obtained liberation from the self. Einstein as Buddha. Thank you, Dr. Einstein. Expanding on Einstein's belief and work, and if we think of ourselves as part of a larger closed system, and that all the universe and beyond is part of a larger closed system, the law of conservation of energy speaks to me, which states that the total amount of energy in a closed system remains constant. The consequence of this law is that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. The only thing that can happen with energy in a closed system is that it can change form. For instance, chemical energy can become thermal energy. Expand it. What does it mean in our microcosm? The leaf breathes, protects, and then becomes protection for the roots and food for the tree. What does it all mean? It informs me that the laws that govern our universe see change and transformation as outcomes, not nothingness. This informs me that when it is time and I let go and my body dies, that I will shed the physical reality like a chrysalis and become something else. I do not know what that something else is. Sometimes I speculate. Butterflies, hummingbirds. Other times I let go of needing to know. Very Taoist. And have faith about it all. Not so Taoist. I realized after the death of both my parents, when they were far too young, I mean far too young, that living with grief was a catalyst to transformation. It allowed it to be, if I allowed it to be. And eventually I was able to let go and just be with what I was living in, that grief. And I learned about grief. And I sat in it. And I let it affect me. There was another side of loss and grief. I eventually got to it. It wasn't easy. The pain that I felt in the loss of my parents became the intimacy that I shared with them in their final moments, a gift that has become precious to me. For those of us who grieve, and I know we all grieve, what we realize after the funeral, after the friends and family go home, is that life goes on. I was actually shocked about this realization that life goes on. Like, what the heck? I thought that time would stop, that life would end as I knew it. And yet one day followed after the next, and life continued on. But in truth, for me, the life that I had known did stop. And a new one began. I was forever changed. You resonating with this? You feel changed? This week, the veil thins. Our children trick-or-treat, a ritual that comes from a place of acknowledging transformation that takes place this time of year. Our Latin American neighbors have parties and set out favorite foods and drink of their ancestors. We in the North, what do? We pull out our sweaters, our boots, and our coats. We begin to rake the leaves that have given us such a gift of bursting color in their passing. We walk through those leaves. We can smell them. We can feel them. They are a reminder to love and to live this life to its fullest. To remember and to renew our love for those whom we have lost, but also to accept that it is ever-present reality that death gives us. That we are here now, alive. Death gives us meaning. In closing, I'd like to share a poem written by Carl Sandburg called Stars, Songs, Faces. Gather the stars if you wish it so. Gather the songs and keep them. Gather the faces of women. Gather for keeping years and years. And then loosen your hands. Let go and say goodbye. Let the stars and the songs go. Let the faces and the years go. Loosen your hands and say goodbye. When you do that, your hands are not empty. They are full of potential. Potential to grow beyond loss, to grow beyond grief. To transform your life into a state of living. May this week be a reminder to be gentle with yourselves and one another as we endeavor to live into this one that we know of, life, to seek and find truths, to love wholly, and be inspired by the mystery of it all. For this we pray. May it be so. Blessed be.